Maybe we will read a few verses. First, Proverbs in the Old Testament, chapter 25, just verse 1. Proverbs, chapter 25, verse 1.
箴言二十五章第一节
These are also proverbs of Solomon, which the man of Hezekiah, king of Judah, transcribed.
Chapter 30, verse 1, 三十章第一节
The words of Agur, the son of Jechet,The prophecy uttered by the man unto Eliel, even unto Eliel and Ukel.
Chapter 31, verse 1. 三十一章第一节
The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him.
We have beenfellowshipping together for some time on the book of Proverbs. And probably this will be the last message on Proverbs for the time being. So let's have a little review first to bring us to the point that we want to share.This morning.
The book of Proverbs can be roughly divided into three parts. From chapter 1 to chapter 9, we will say it is wisdom calls. Wisdom is personified. Wisdom is our Lord Jesus.He is the wisdom of God. And He is calling us to Himself, that He might be wisdom unto us. He is gathering a people to Himself to make them children of wisdom. That is the first part. The second part is from chapter 10.Through chapter 24. It is wisdom instructs, or wisdom builds. And we remember our Lord Jesus, as wisdom, He is building something. He is building His church. He is building His house. And wisdom buildsher house with seven pillars. So we have been sharing together on these seven pillars. Then the third part of Proverbs is from chapter 25 through chapter 31. This is wisdom continues, overflows, responds.Now, in this last portion of Proverbs, from chapter 25 through chapter 31, you will find that it begins with, These are also Proverbs of Solomon, which the man of Hezekiah, king of Judah, transcribed. Now, of course, we know that from chapter 10 through chapter 24,We are told that these are the Proverbs of Solomon. Solomon spoke 3,000 Proverbs. And out of the 3,000, we find a great number of them in the middle part of the book of Proverbs. There were many other Proverbs of Solomon that were not recorded.But about 300 years after Solomon, in the reign of King Hezekiah. You know, King Hezekiah reigned over the nation of Judah about 300 years after Solomon. And during his reign, there was a great spiritual awakening. And there were men of Hezekiah, wise men. And they transcribed more of the Proverbs of Solomon. In other words, Solomon spoke 3,000 Proverbs. But up to that time, many of them were not transcribed, were not recorded. They were known among the people, passed on from generation to generation orally. But they were not put down into records, into writing. So, man of Hezekiah began to collect these things, gather them together, arrange them in order. That is the meaning of transcribing. They took what were passing on among the people orally. They took them, they gathered them together, they set them into order, they transcribed them, and that's how we find these Proverbs. Also of Solomon, but transcribed by the man of Hezekiah. But in transcribing them, it is more than just gathering them together, collecting them, arranging them, setting them in order. That is mechanical. That is technical. But the men of Hezekiah, when they transcribed, it was more than just a technical thing. Why? Because there was a spiritual awakening at that time. They were awakened before the Lord. They took these Proverbs to heart. These advices, these warnings that Solomon spoke 300 years ago, they took these into their heart. These words became their words. So in transcribing them, it was more than just a mechanical thing. It was a spiritual thing. Solomon's Proverbs became their Proverbs. In other words, Solomon spoke in them and through them. And this is the way that these Proverbs were being transcribed. Now, brothers and sisters, Christ as wisdom, he builds his house with seven pillars. And these seven pillars represent the sevenfold character of our Lord Jesus. He built himself into us. And then with us, he built his house, that is his church. But after the house is built, what do you find in the house? You find in the house a reproduction of himself. In other words, Christ is wisdom. And now, after he has built himself into his church begins to reflect his wisdom, to manifest his wisdom. What Christ is, so shall be his church. Because his church is none other but Christ himself in his people. And that's the reason why in the third part of the book of Proverbs, you'll find that reproduction of wisdom. You'll find that reflection of Christ in the church. So in the third section, in the third part, as you read through these chapters, you will find they are almost repetitions of what you find in the second part. But these are repetitions with variations. Not word by word. Exactly. But you find the thought is the same. And yet, it is put in a slightly different ways. It gives a kind of variations. And brothers and sisters, this is what the church is. This is what we are. We are here to represent Christ. We are here to reproduce, as it were, we are here to express Christ. It is Christ. As you see Christ, that is what you should see in the church. It is none other, and yet it is different. There are variations. Christ in you, Christ in me, Christ in the different members of the body, and every member is expressing Christ in a slightly different way. There are variations. Like the members of the body, there are various members. Not all the members of the body are the same. You have various members, and yet it is one body. And the one body is to express the fullness of the head. As Christ is the fullness of God, so the church is the fullness of Christ. Here you'll find in the church, Christ is being reproduced. Christ is being expressed in his fullness, in great varieties. And this is what you'll find in the third part of the book of Proverbs. I do not think we should go over these in details. But for the sake of some who would like to make a study of it, let me give you these verses to show that how the third part is a reproduction of the second part with varieties. We mentioned the seven pillars. The first one is righteousness. And here you'll find in the third part, that is from chapter 25 through chapter 29, you'll find these verses on righteousness. Chapter 25, verse 5, verse 26, chapter 28, verse 6, 12, 28, chapter 29, verse 2, 6, 7, 27. Now, in these verses, you will find they all speak on righteousness. Now, let us just read one of them as an example, 25:5. Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. The second pillar is diligence. And you'll find these verses. Chapter 26, verse 13. Through verse 16. The sluggard saith, there is a fierce lion in the way, a lion is in the midst of the streets. As the door turneth upon its hinges, so the sluggard upon his bed. The sluggard buried his hand in the dish, it wearieth him to bring it again to his mouth. A sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men that answers discreetly. And also you'll find in chapter 28, verse 19. The third pillar is love. And you'll find these verses in that part. 25, 21, 22. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and Jehovah shall reward thee. And also 26, from verse 24 through verse 26. The fourth pillar is lowliness, humbleness, humility. And you'll find these verses, chapter 25, verses 6 and 7, put not thyself forward in the presence of the king, and stand not in the place of the great. For better it is that it be said unto thee, Come up hither, than that thou shouldest be put lower in the presence of the prince, whom thine eyes see. Also, chapter 27, verses 1, 2, 1 and 21, not 2. And also, chapter 28, verse 25, chapter 29, verse 23. The fifth pillar is graciousness. And you'll find that in chapter 25, verse 15. By long suffering, by long forbearing, is a ruler persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. Chapter 28, verse 8 and verse 27. The sixth pillar is disciplined, a disciplined life. Chapter 25, verse 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is as a city broken down without walls. Chapter 26, verse 3. 27, verse 13, 28, verses 14 and 19, chapter 29, verses 1, 15, and 17. And the seventh pillar is truthfulness, truthful. Chapter 25, verse 14. Clouds and wind without rain. So is a man that boasted himself of a false gift. Chapter 26, verse 28, chapter 27, verses 5 and 6, chapter 28, verse 23, chapter 29, verses 5 and 12. So you will find that in these verses, a counterpart of what you find in the second part of the book of Proverbs. It is a reproduction. And dear brothers and sisters, this is what the Lord is doing. He is working Himself into us, His own character into us. And when we are being built up together, then we reflect Him in His beauty, in His character, that the world may see Him in us and through us. But here you'll find, before the book of Proverbs comes to a close, there are two more chapters. Chapter 30 and chapter 31. And these two chapters are very unique. You find in the beginning of chapter 30, the words of Agag, the son of Jecheth, the prophecy uttered by the man unto Eliel, unto Ethiel and Ukel. And in chapter 31, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Now we do not know who these two men are. Who is Agag? Who is Lemuel? We do not know. Some people think that these are the pseudonyms of Solomon. But we do not see the need for such. Now, who are these two men? The words of Agag, the son of Jecheth. Now, who is Jecheth? The prophecy uttered by the man unto Ethiel. Who is Ethiel? Even unto Ethiel and Ukel. Who is Ukel? Here you'll find a number of names that are completely unknown to us. And because of this, some people who are studying, they think probably these are not proper names. Probably these are words that you have to take their meanings from them. instead of being proper names. So here you'll find, in chapter 30, verse 1, it can be translated in this way. Words of Eger, the son of the princess of Mesa. The man's saying, I have wearied myself about God. Wearied myself about God. Then did I withdraw. And in chapter 31, verse 1, it can be translated this way. Words of Lemuel, the king of Mesa, which his mother instructed him. Now, in the New American, in the American Standard Version, Old American Standard Version, you will find in the footnote, words of Eger. Of Mesa. And also you will find in chapter 31, 1, words of Lemuel, king of Mesa. So here you'll find a place called Mesa in both instances. Eger is of Mesa. Lemuel is king of Mesa. Eger is of the princess of Mesa, son of the princess of Mesa. So probably the princess of Mesa is the queen mother of Mesa in chapter 31. Probably Eger and Lemuel were brothers. They were both sons of the princess of Mesa. Now, what is Mesa? Where is Mesa? You find it is mentioned in Genesis chapter 25, verse 14. Mesa is at the southeasterly part, beyond the border of Palestine. Palestine is the promised land God gave to the children of Israel. But beyond the border of Palestine, on the southeastern side, you have a district called Mesa. It was inhabited by the Ishmaelites. You know, Abraham had a son called Ishmael. And the Ishmaelites, they inhabited in that area. Now, if this is the case, then you'll find that the queen mother of Mesa and Eger and Lemuel, they probably were the Ishmaelites. They probably were not Israelites. They were Ishmaelites. And yet you'll find the Proverbs, the wise sayings, especially of the queen mother, because actually the two sons, they spoke for their mother. Their mother instructed them. And they just spoke what their mother had instructed them. So actually these wise sayings or these Proverbs came from the queen mother of Mesa. A Gentile woman. And out of the mouth of the Gentile woman came out these wisdom, wise sayings, and they were collected into the book of Proverbs. Now, isn't that marvelous? You know, the first book, chronologically speaking, that is in the Holy Bible, is not written by a Jew or an Israelite. The book of Job. Job was not a Hebrew. He was not a Jew. And yet you find the book of Job was the first book, chronologically speaking, in the Bible. And here you'll find in the Proverbs, not only there were the Proverbs of Solomon, king of the Israelites, but even in that collection, you'll find the wise sayings of the queen mother of Mesha and Ishmaelites. When wisdom builds her house, he builds in both the Jews and the Gentiles. What is the church that Christ is building on this earth? You'll find in the church there are Jews and there are Gentiles. And yet there is neither Jew nor Gentile. Why? It is Christ himself. So even in Proverbs, in the wise sayings of God, you'll find not only those that came from Solomon, but also those that came from the queen mother of Mesha. And you know, in the history of Solomon, there is an analogy there. After God gave Solomon great wisdom, and his fame began to spread through the world, you remember a queen, Queen of Sheba, of Africa. Queen of Sheba in Africa heard of the wisdom of Solomon. So she came to Solomon. She came to Solomon to prove his wisdom by enigmas. She came to Solomon and she questioned Solomon. She poured out her hearts, all the problems. She poured out her heart to Solomon, and Solomon answered her in every point to her satisfaction. Now, for a woman to come to Solomon and to prove his wisdom, she herself must be very intelligent. And yet, how much she received from Solomon. And tradition said she was married to Solomon. And when she went back, actually, she made a replica of the whole temple. The things, all the holy vessels in the temple. Even today, we are told that you may find a replica of the holy vessels in the temple in Ethiopia. And the king of Ethiopia, even today, is called the Lion of David. They tried to trace it back to Sheba with Solomon. So here you'll find there is an analogy there. As Queen of Sheba is united to Solomon, so the church is united to Christ. And in this union you'll find the wisdom of Christ is being manifested. So here you'll find the two last chapters of the book of Proverbs. The Queen Mother of Mesha can represent the church, responding to Christ with great wisdom, because it is the wisdom of God. It is Christ himself. Now, these two chapters are very interesting. Chapter 30, the words of Agar. Now, Agar begins in such a way. He said, I have wearied myself about God. And he repeats it. Wearied myself about God. And then I gave up. I withdraw. Truly, I'm more stupid than anyone. And I have not a man's intelligence. I have neither learned wisdom, nor have I the knowledge of the holy. In other words, here you find Agar. He was trying to know God. He wanted to know God. He was seeking. He was searching. He wearied himself with searching. And he found that he just could not fathom God. God is infinite. And for a finite mind trying to penetrate the very secret of God, he found that he just wearied himself out. He was exhausted. And he said, I withdrew. I acknowledge that I'm just foolish. I just do not have the intelligence to fathom God. God is way beyond me. Oh, he is the infinite. And yet, he did find God. You find that he prayed to God. And his prayer was, neither for vanity, not for life. Neither for wealth, nor for poverty. His prayer is just one thing. That he may be close to God and he may glorify God in his life. He does not ask for wealth, lest he be rich and forget God. He asks God to keep him away from poverty, lest he steal and put shame to God. He just wants to be close to God and to glorify God's name. Now, that is his attitude. Now, is it not true that the attitude of the church, the attitude of us believers, should always be like this? Our attitude should be a humble attitude. We seek after God. Oh, we want to know him. And yet, the more we want to know him, the more we find that he is beyond us. No matter how much you know him, you still do not know him. God is a great mystery. We know him, and yet we don't know him. It takes eternity for us to know him, and yet we still have to know him. Now, this is a paradox, but this is the truth. And yet, even though we acknowledge we don't know him, yet we are close to him. We can glorify him in our lives. And out of such a relationship with God comes great wisdom. If you read chapter 30, you'll find Agur spoke lots of things which even now is a mystery. I do not pretend I can interpret chapter 30. There are many things that are mentioned by Agur that is a mystery to me. Great wisdom. Even today, we cannot fathom what Agur had spoken. Because he knew God, therefore, he had such wisdom that even today, we still do not understand. Isn't that true of the church? And then in chapter 31, you find the mother of the male king of Nessa instructed him. And when you read the whole chapter, what did she instruct him? Two things. What a king should be. And second, what a queen should be. What a man should be. What a woman should be. What would you expect of a husband? And what should you expect of a wife. Now that's chapter 31. A king should be just. A king should not drink in the early morning. A king should be merciful. He is the symbol of justice and mercy. And what about the woman? The queen. Oh, the woman is to be diligent. The woman is to be kind. And her kindness extends even beyond her own household. A woman is to be wise. and a perfect picture of Christ and His church. Christ as the King, the man, the husband. He is the very symbol of justice and mercy. And the woman as a symbol, a type of the church. Diligent, gracious, kind, and wise. And this is the perfect union that God is after. Dear brothers and sisters, what is the eternal purpose of God? The union of Christ and His church. And there is such suitability of the woman to the man, that together they may fulfill the work of God. And that is the conclusion of Proverbs. So dear brothers and sisters, we hope that our meditations on Proverbs will be a real help to us. Now, our Heavenly Father, how we praise and thank Thee for Thy Word. Thy words are pure. Oh, how we praise and thank Thee for Thy word. Because by Thy word, Thou dost give us Thy Christ. Oh, we do praise and thank Thee. And Lord, we do ask Thee that what Thou hast given to us through Thy word may become reality to all of us. That truly we may be characterized by the character of Christ. That in our union with Him, we may manifest His wisdom to the glory of God. We ask in the name of our Lord Jesus.